You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy and Culture at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Tell your friends about it. Well, this is the first podcast of the new year, and I hope you're going to be tuning in every chance you get, because I have this feeling that 2026 is going to be an unbelievably important year for America and for all of us who believe in faith, family, and freedom. And look, we got to admit, 2026 has already started off with a bang. Look, this is an important year in American history. It's the 250th anniversary of the signing of our Declaration of Independence. And there are all kinds of major celebrations and ceremonies that are planned all over America. I know the Trump administration's got a bunch of big things they want to do. Some of these celebrations and ceremonies began on New Year's Eve right here in Washington, D.C. The Washington Monument, which is named after our first president, George Washington, dominates the Washington, D.C. skyline. I'm pretty sure this is still the case. You're not allowed to build a building in Washington, D.C. that's a hot, you know, that's like New York, that would be higher than the Washington Monument. It's prohibited by law. Well, the Washington Monument, as I said, dominates the skyline. And as the sun went down on New Year's Eve, on December 31st, 2025, something was done that had never been done before. There was a special multimedia display put on. There were a set of images representing patriotic themes and things from our history that were projected onto the Washington Monument. It was really a very impressive thing to watch. And, you know, even in divided Washington, D.C., where there's, you know, people argue about whether the sun comes up in the east or the west these days, there was praise for this creative celebration of American history. I actually wondered, as I saw some of the clips of it, what would George Washington say? First of all, I'm not sure he'd be totally comfortable that there's a big monument in the nation's capital named after him. I mean, he wasn't that kind of guy. He was very self-effacing. But let's say that he understood that. What would he have thought of the technology of seeing these images, beautiful things, and the monument being used as if it was a video screen where you could watch this show? But I also wondered what George Washington would say or how he would react if he witnessed an event that took place the very next day on January 1st, 2026, in New York City. There, the new mayor, Zohran Mamdani, placed his hand on the Quran. Let me say that again. Placed his hand on the Quran and took the oath of office to be the next mayor of New York City. Now, after he was sworn in, the new mayor delivered a 23-minute inaugural address to the cheers of thousands of New Yorkers. But the vision he presented to his admirers, I can say with certainty, was not a vision that George Washington, who we refer to as the father of our country, it's not a vision that he would have embraced. In fact, I think if George Washington could have actually heard that speech in New York, he might be wondering whether America would ever celebrate another anniversary of the founding of the country. Now, before I go any further, you might be saying, I don't care what goes on in New York City. I'm moving on. You should care what happens in New York City. First of all, it's the most iconic city in America. It's still the capital of the financial markets of our country. It has tremendous cultural influence. Many people around the world might not be able to name many cities in America. They can name New York City. And so a lot of what happens in New York can have a big impact on the rest of us. But even more importantly than that, the new mayor is outlining a vision, and he is making it very clear he does not see this as a vision for only New York City. He sees it as a vision for America. Now, the mayor was standing, this is kind of ironic, the mayor was standing less than 1 mile away from where George Washington was sworn in as our first president on April 30th, 1789 at Federal Hall. Whoa, wait a minute. George Washington was sworn in New York, not Washington, D.C.? Okay, guys, did you skip that day in the history books? A lot of people don't realize this, but New York City was our country's capital for 5 years, from 1785 to 1790. And so the first president of the United States, George Washington, took the oath of office in New York City with his hand on the Bible. In his inaugural address, George Washington credited the God of the Bible for the success of our revolution and the birth of America. That this idea that the God of all creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God had brought us victory over the British Empire and was looking over us and protecting the new nation was something that George Washington believed with every fiber of his being. And probably more importantly, it was an idea widely embraced by the American people. It was preached from the pulpits of America leading up to the Revolution, during the Revolution, to sustain the American people, and then celebrated in the pulpits of America after we won the Revolutionary War. Mayor Mamdani did not mention God in his inaugural address, certainly not the God of the Bible. Many of his supporters would not have been pleased if he did, and Mamdani himself does not believe in the God of the Bible. Now, I could go off and do about an hour or so on this, but I won't. But some of you might go, well, wait a minute, Gary, he's Muslim. I mean, you know, he gets to pick the book he wants. Well, yeah, there's no legal requirement that you take the oath of office on the Bible. But I do want to make this clear. The God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. There's obviously only one God, right? There isn't a Muslim God and a Christian God. There's only one God, the creator of everything. It can't be the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran, because if it was, then God's a schizophrenic. Because the God of the Quran does not quote or describe the God that we know about from studying the Bible. So you may not think it's an important thing, but I think it's got tremendous significance. I'm assuming he's serious in his Muslim faith, but Mayor Mamdani made it clear that he places his trust in more government, the bigger, the better. And he thinks bigger government, all that goes with big government, he believes it's the only hope for New York City, and he also believes it's the only hope for America. Now, when he was delivering his inaugural address, he received enthusiastic applause when he made this promise. Listen to it in his own words.
We will govern without shame and insecurity, making no apology for what we believe. I was elected as a democratic socialist, and I will govern as a democratic socialist. I will not abandon my principles for fear of being deemed radical.
Okay, well, I'll give the guy credit for truthfulness. You know, a lot of left-wing politicians, a lot of leading Democrats will vehemently deny that they are socialists, because by and large, socialism in America has been seen as a fringe belief. It's the kind of thing that pops up a lot in Europe, not so much here. This guy does not deny it. He is proud of it. And he could have done what a lot of politicians do. That is, they get elected, and then as soon as they start governing, they move sort of to the center. Hey, I'll give him credit. No, he's not moving to the center. He's bragging about the fact that he's a socialist. He went on to say that the era of big government is not over. He said, beginning today, we will govern expansively and audaciously. Now, look, there are good government programs. We can all cite a program that we say to ourselves, oh, that worked. Most of us support Social Security, you know, as a way to help older people when they retire have something from all their years of work. So there are good government programs. But history has shown clearly that when governments get bigger and more powerful, they inevitably limit the space left for everything else. They limit the space occupied by faith, family, and freedom. In fact, powerful big governments often see religious faith, the family unit, and general personal freedom to be impediments that they have to overcome because these things limit what government wants to do. You know, a lot of what we do at the James Dobson Family Institute is fighting against government's efforts to hurt faith, family, and freedom. And Mandami, the new mayor, has already signaled that he is going to be aggressive in using that government power to go after a lot of things we care about. New York has got 8.5 million people. And New York City is a pro-abortion city, and New York State, which is a pro-abortion state. But in all of New York City, there are only 3 crisis pregnancy centers. I mean, I find that to be unbelievable. And as you know, a crisis pregnancy center is a place where a woman, maybe she was surprised by her pregnancy, maybe something happened and she's been abandoned, maybe she's worried about economic issues, whatever. We know the abortion culture and the tug of it. But all over America, there are crisis pregnancy centers where those women that are still undecided or might be seeking help because they've decided to have their baby can go, they can get food, they can get clothing for their new baby. These are wonderful things. They're a display of the big heart of the American people. Most of these clinics are run by religious groups or churches, and certainly the great majority of them are manned and run by Christians. And there's 3 of them in New York City, 8.5 million people. He has already made it clear that he intends to use the power of government to force the closing of the only 3 crisis pregnancy centers in all of New York City. So much for choice. Well, look, Christian legal groups, the pro-life movement, and the James Dobson Family Institute will fight him on this. We have gone to the mat year after year after year. Dr. Dobson did this all of his life to protect and fight for the sanctity of life, to defend and promote and help subsidize crisis pregnancy centers. And we're not going to allow some big shot socialist, self-described socialist, mayor of New York City to do this without a fight. So we will fight. Now, I noticed something else about his speech. And first of all, it's what he left out. You know, there's a lot of boilerplate, things that every politician says. You know, people running for office tend to refer to God often. They want to get the vote of people to go to church, or they'll mention patriotic things. You know, you don't want to run for office, make people think that you don't love America. But it is the 250th anniversary of the beginning of the country, and the new mayor did not once mention the Constitution of the United States or the Declaration of Independence. These 2 documents are the owner's manual of our republic. Instead of mentioning those documents, he promised something that has disturbed a lot of people. And you should hear it in his own words. Listen to this. This is what he told the cheering crowd.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
Now, there were some cheers for that line, not as much as some of the other cheering that went on. I don't think most of that audience, and it was a left-wing audience, I don't think most of them understood the sentence he just said. First of all, this word collectivism, when's the last time you heard somebody talking in politics about collectivism? It's not a normal phrase today in American political discourse. But this was a 23-minute speech. He chose his words carefully. There were a lot of quote-unquote smart people that, you know, he had input on this speech. So it's in there for a reason. I think he knew exactly what he was saying. And I believe he was saying something that has implications way beyond New York City. As I said, I'm not sure the crowd knew what he meant. There was a few cheers, but not the raucous applause he received in other places in his remarks. But look, it wasn't an accidental sentence. There were a lot of smart people that contributed to the speech. It's in there for somebody's ears. I think it says a lot about what his governing philosophy is, what his ideology is. I don't know what he means by the frigidity of rugged individualism. Rugged individualism has always been admired in America. Rugged individualism should not be confused with selfishness, nor confused with the idea of every man for himself. Maybe that's what he meant when he said frigidity, that it's a cold philosophy, that it means, you know, selfishness and so forth. It's never meant that. Historians have noted that in America, how important our institutions like the church and the family and community have been to our success and progress. One famous historian referred to these things as little platoons, little places of strength, and they temper rugged individualism. Rugged individualism in America has been grounded in the individual rights outlined in our Bill of Rights. It spurred the early colonists, and it inspired America as we moved west and created this great new country, a country that has been a leader in providing more freedom and more opportunity than any competing system of government in the history of the world. It is almost impossible to imagine America without rugged individualism. Now, what about this other phrase, the warmth of collectivism, that the mayor embraced in his remarks? If you don't hear the word collectivism a lot in modern America, there's whole history books that have been written about collectivism. And there's a whole history that you can find about places that followed the philosophy of collectivism. And when you read all that, his embrace of it should trouble all of us. Collectivism is a philosophy that subjugates the individual to the group. The group could be a race, a class. It can be the government, which I think is what the mayor has in mind. When collectivism triumphs, individual rights shrink. The individual, you and your work, belongs to the group or the collective. They can do with it whatever they want. Now, in the 20th century, there were two infamous forms of collectivism that prevailed to horrible effects. One was godless communism or Marxism, and the other was Nazism, fascism. These two isms that are built on collectivism are responsible, listen to this, are responsible for the deaths of at least 100 million people in the 20th century. These isms robbed people of their God-given rights, and ultimately they ended in mass murder of the common man. This is not something we should want an American government official or an American candidate at any level of government to be embracing. You can't use the phrase without referring to this history. He could have easily said collectivism and then quickly added, I'm not talking about the collectivism of communism. No, he didn't say that at all. There is a Chinese woman who fled communism in China. I doubt if you've ever heard her name. She's not a big personality. She periodically does some interviews. Her name is Xi Van Fleet, and she's an author. She's up in years. She lived in communist China during Chairman Mao's Cultural Revolution that ended in the deaths of millions. She wrote a book in 2023, just a couple years ago, warning the American people that here she was, this lady that got out of communist China as a child, her family fled to America, and she now sees the same trends happening here in America that she remembers from that era she grew up in communist China, that resulted in the deaths of so many of her fellow Chinese. She heard the mayor's inaugural speech, and she was deeply troubled. She went on social media and she made some comments on it. One of the things she said was this: in America, I am reminded that I am an individual. Ah, there's that rugged individualism again. I am an individual made in the image of God with inherent dignity and worth. In communist China, I was taught that I was merely a replaceable part of the socialist collective machine, dispensable whenever the needs of the state, of the government, demanded it. Of course, our whole nation was built on the idea that our liberty comes from God. The Declaration of Independence we celebrate this year says God gave us our rights, not Mandami's big government adored by socialists and Marxists. It's said that the mayor is a rising political star in this anniversary year of America, and that he's a proud socialist, that he's emerging and has a following, a growing following, just as we are celebrating 250 years of freedom. He is not just a New York City phenomena. His type of socialists have been winning elections in other big cities across the country in the last year or so. You're going to hear a lot more about him, a lot more about this rising socialist trend in the Democrat Party as it grows in power and influence. And it's happening as we celebrate our liberty. It's almost as if God is placing before us a choice again. Are we going to embrace ordered liberty under God, or the dead hand of big government socialism? Now, my good friend, your good friend, Dr. James Dobson, loved God and he loved America. Most Americans today share that love for God and country. We hope you will join us in 2026 as JDFI launches new projects and programs to teach our children to love the things we love and honor the things we honor, and reject the kind of philosophies we heard in New York City in the opening days of this new year. Only by doing that can we feel confident that America will be able to celebrate a 300th birthday 50 years from now, still one nation under God. Well, thanks a lot, my friends. Again, keep coming back. We're going to have a lot of exciting things to report to you in the months ahead of 2026.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.